Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
One of my childhood idols was a guitarist named Steve Vai. I don't know how many of you might be familiar with him. Yeah, we got an applause there, yeah. If you've never heard of him, just know this, that he's wildly considered to be one of the greatest guitarists of all time. He's not just a legendary guitar player, but he's also a classically trained composer. He played with Frank Zappa. He's recorded many award-winning albums, performed with symphonies all over the world. The guy is literally a genius when it comes to guitar and to music. And when I was a teenager, I had this guitar magazine that featured Steve Vai on the cover, and on the front of it was Steve Vai's 10-hour-a-day guitar workout. That's right. 10 hours a day. And this magazine was filled with the lessons that Steve would go through for 10 hours a day. That is how he became an expert. And the idea, you might have heard this before, is that there was what's called the 10,000-hour rule. That if you spend 10,000 hours doing something, you can become an expert. That's about 5 years of full-time focus, or 10 years maybe if you're just doing a dedicated effort. See, we've all logged tens of thousands of hours doing things, whether it's your job or raising kids or scrolling on our phones, golfing, maybe binging Netflix. But let's think about this. If you're, let's take the lower end in this room, maybe if you're 18 years old or so, you've lived over 157,000 hours. If you're over the age of 40, you're well past 350,000 hours. My grandma just passed away at the age of 104. That's over 910,000 hours of living. So given all these hours that all of us have spent living, doing this thing, we should all be experts at life by now, right? Are you an expert at life? If you answer yes, the answer is no, right? We all want to succeed at life. We all want to make good decisions. We all want to raise our kids well. We want to thrive in our relationships with friends and neighbors and our spouses. We want to handle money wisely. We want to treat people right. We want to manage our emotions. We want to make a difference in our life. We want to be experts at living. But there's a difference between being smart and being wise. Now, we live in what's often called the information age, but it's never called the wisdom age, is it? See, we're drowning in information, but we're starving for wisdom. You can be brilliant in your career and foolish in your relationships. You can ace exams, get straight A's, and fail morally. You can know all the facts you need to know, but still destroy your life. We have more podcasts, more influencers, more life hacks than any other generation has ever had in history. Yet we're still people that are full of anxiety. We're exhausted. We're still confused at life. Why? Because information isn't transformation. See, Google can answer your questions, but Google can't give you a successful life. And we have so many voices trying to get our attention today. Saying things like, do what you feel is right. Or one of my favorites, you do you, right? Or follow your own path. But being an expert at life isn't just being full of information. It's not just being smart. It's being wise. And we need wisdom. Well, last week, Dan kicked off our summer series as we walked through the book of Proverbs. And he gave us a 30,000-foot view of this book. He helped us understand that Proverbs is part of the Bible's wisdom literature. And it's full of principles, if you remember, not promises. And for the first 9 chapters or so, we hear the advice of a father urging his son over and over and over again to listen to the right voice, to listen to the voice of Lady Wisdom, wisdom personified as a woman, to listen to Lady Wisdom and not Lady Folly. The word in Hebrew for wisdom is chokmah, chokmah. And it means skill for living. It's not just knowledge. It's the God-given ability to be an expert at life. Because you can be an expert at life. Wisdom isn't just knowing what's right or wrong. It's knowing when and how to apply things. There's a phrase you might have heard before, the right thing at the right time in the right way for the right reason. That's living with wisdom. That's why just reading Proverbs itself takes wisdom. See, sometimes it seems like Proverbs, it disagrees or it contradicts itself. Here's an example. Proverbs 26:4. It says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And the very next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. But wait, which one is it? The answer is both. Yes. It depends. See, these contradictions, they aren't mistakes. They teach us that wisdom isn't just a one-size-fits-all rulebook. It's about discernment. And that's why we need wisdom to even read the Proverbs. It's what Christina Roy Yoder, a noted professor of Old Testament and author of several studies on the book of Proverbs, calls the situational nature of wisdom. That's why just grabbing a proverb and treating it as a promise out of context can be dangerous. You have to have wisdom. There's even a proverb about this. Proverbs 26:7-9 says, a proverb in the mouth of a fool is as useless as a paralyzed leg. Verse 9, a proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a thorny branch brandished by a drunk. Don't you love the imagery? See, wisdom requires more than just quoting. It requires having the right timing. See, being wise is kind of like being a DJ. A good DJ doesn't just play random music. A good DJ is really a curator, right? And a great DJ doesn't just know the songs, but they know when to play the right song. Imagine the first dance at a wedding. Everyone's gathered around, the bride and groom. They start dancing and the DJ cues up Highway to Hell. Grandma's choking on her cake. The bride starts crying. Everybody starts wondering, is this God trying to tell us something, right? Or maybe you're at a funeral and the sound guy plays Staying Alive. This is bad timing. Years ago before a church service, we had music playing like we do here, and my daughter, Kira, she was about 10 years old at the time, she took control of the family Spotify list from home that was assigned to our computer at church. And so right at the wrong moment, blaring over our giant sound system was It's a Hard Knock Life from the musical Annie. Being wise is like being a DJ. You have to not just play the right songs, but you have to play them at the right time. You have to pay attention. You have to read the room. See, wisdom isn't just about knowing facts. It's about knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and why you're doing it. Wisdom is applying, that's right, yay. Wisdom is applying the truth in the right way at the right time for the right reason. Because there's a difference between being smart and being wise. So how do you get wisdom? Well, last week, Dan laid the foundation from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline or instruction. So you don't become wise by a certain age or education or even how many hours you've logged, because being wise happens by walking in the fear of the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord, it's not being scared of God, terrified that he might strike you down, a lightning bolt that's going to zap you if you do the wrong thing, if you're in trouble. The fear of the Lord, it's a posture of awe and reverence and submission. It's seeing the mightiness of God in all that he has done, in all that he is, the creator of the universe, the master of the universe, and not being so scared that you run away, but that you want to be close, that you want to draw near to the great I am. In Exodus chapter 20, when the Israelites saw thunder and lightning coming on Mount Sinai, they trembled. They were scared when they first encountered the awe and majesty of God. And Moses tells them this in Exodus 20:20. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, will be with you and keep you from sinning." There's a purpose. It's not to just have the emotion of fear within us. It's to draw us to do the right thing, to live with a foundation of wisdom. Not fear that makes you run from God. It's fear that makes you run to him. The fear of the Lord isn't about being scared of God. It's about refusing to live like you are God, acknowledging that he is God and we are not. Saying, "I'm not God. I don't know everything." That's hard for some of us to admit, isn't it? That we don't know everything. I trust him more than I trust me. I'm refusing to live like I'm the center of the universe. It's recognizing and making choices in light of the fact that God sees things that you don't. God knows things that you don't. And he loves you better than you can love yourself. So here's the question that an expert at life asks. What is the wisest action to take in this situation for someone who fears the Lord? It's a question to ask yourself. In every situation, what's the wisest thing I can do in this moment for someone who fears the Lord? Starting from that posture, from that foundation, from that beginning. And that's not just making a smart decision, it's making a surrendered one, recognizing that God is God and you are not. It's not what do I want to do, it's what would someone in awe of God do right now? Lady Wisdom goes on in verse 20 of chapter 1. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. "How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge?" See, wisdom isn't whispering. She's shouting. She's not playing hard to get. She wants us to see her. Wisdom wants us to take notice. She's in the street in front of everyone, just like she's in our classrooms, in our living rooms, in our bedrooms. Wisdom is in our offices, on us with our phones. And we see in verse 22, she's calling out to three different kinds of people. The first is the simple-minded, or your Bible might say simple or naive. And those are those who just don't know any better. We haven't yet learned the things that we need to learn. See, that's you and I before we have given our life to Jesus. There's also the mockers or the scoffers. And those are people who openly rebel against wisdom. They don't want anything to do with it. They actually poke fun at it. They despise the truth of wisdom. They despise the fear of the Lord. And third is the fools. Those are people who know what's right, but they ignore it. I'm not happy to say this, but more often than not, I'm a fool. I know what's right, but I choose to ignore it, to not follow it. And Lady Wisdom, she asks, how long will you love being simple? How long will you ignore? And then she says this in verse 23, come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. She wants to get our attention because wisdom comes to those who want it. It's not something hidden that we can't find. Wisdom comes to those who want it. You can be an expert at life. See, wisdom is a gift, but it's not automatic. It doesn't just happen to you. You have to want it. You have to ask for it. You have to pursue it. Lady Wisdom goes on in chapter 2, and she says, my child, listen to what I say. This is the father speaking. He says, listen to what I say, then treasure my commands. Talking about wisdom. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasure. Then you'll understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. It takes pursuit, effort, desire. See, Lady Wisdom just now, she knows how crucial wisdom is for life, how important it is that you actually be an expert at life. So wisdom isn't hiding. But it's not just going to happen to you. Proverbs 4:7 says, get wisdom. Though it costs everything you have, get understanding. Get it. It's the most important thing. See, you'll never grow wise if you think you already know everything. And if you want to be an expert at life, if you want wisdom, God will give it to you generously. Lady Wisdom continues in verse 24. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, and you paid no attention. Remember, we ignore it. You ignored my advice, my instruction, and you rejected the correction I offered. You didn't want to be disciplined. See, wisdom doesn't just grow by accident. We've talked about this before, how you don't just come to church or become a Christian and then magically everything in your life is perfect and you become a fully mature adult believer in Jesus Christ, a parent who's reproducing for the glory of God, right? It doesn't just happen automatically. You have to recognize that God is growing you. You have to admit that you need to be grown. And see, wisdom grows through training, discipline, and trust. It grows through training, paying attention to God's word and the direction the Holy Spirit gives you, trusted wise counsel in your life. And wisdom happens through discipline, through the times when we're corrected, even when it hurts, and through trust. That can mean letting others speak into your life. It means admitting when you're wrong. It means recognizing that God is God, the fear of the Lord driving your life, living with that fear of the Lord. It means obeying even when you don't feel like it. In chapter 3, verse 5, Lady Wisdom says these famous words you've probably heard before. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. But you need the fear of the Lord to trust him, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make sense. I have learned several things in my life through my wife that don't make sense to me, but I just trust them. I think I've shared this with you before, but one is loading the dishwasher a certain way. I can put the dishes in the dishwasher, yet they somehow don't get clean, but when I follow my wife's way, magically, everything works the way it's supposed to. And I don't understand it, but I trust it, right? Because I have wisdom. Dan shared with us last week the two paths of wisdom and folly. The wisdom is calling for us to listen, but there's another voice that's calling to us too. They're both calling us to walk their paths. And Lady Folly, she's shouting at us too. Next week, we're going to talk about what Lady Folly says to us, about her seductive ways, the promises that she makes that she can never keep. But today, we're going to look at Lady Wisdom. And we're reminded that Jesus spoke also of two paths. In Matthew 7:13, he said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, the fear of the Lord doesn't just mean believing in God. It means living in obedience. So I want to ask you this morning, what voice is the loudest in your life right now? Which voice are you listening to in your daily decisions? The big ones and the small ones. Are you listening to wisdom? Or you're listening to folly? And I want to give you a couple exercises to maybe think through this week as you reflect on this passage. as you think about how you can live listening to the voice of Lady Wisdom. And the first is this: start with awe. When you wake up tomorrow morning, before you go to bed, before you grab your phone or your coffee or whatever it might be, spend time reflecting on God's marvelous nature, His power, His majesty, His greatness, His beauty, His grace. We sang some songs this morning that remind us, that speak to that truth, how great you are, right? Hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am. He is the only one worthy, no one else. How great thou art. And let your decisions, let that shape the foundation of your day. To live in the awe, the fear of the Lord. The second is to seek wisdom daily. We challenged you last week to read a chapter of Proverbs a day. There's 31 chapters. There happens to be 31 days in this month and next month as well. So if you haven't already, I encourage you, read chapter 13 today. But don't just read it, apply it. Seek wisdom daily, but also obey it. Obey even when it's hard. That's wisdom. Truth in action. Not just truth, not just knowing this, but applying this, obeying, following after Jesus. As you're reading that, I encourage you to maybe ask these questions. Because sometimes we read scripture, and especially maybe Proverbs, and we think, what do I do with this? Here's two questions to ask. What does this teach me about the nature of God? When you read that chapter, what does this teach me about God? And second, what can I do with this today? How can I apply this today? I've been doing this exercise for a while with the book of Proverbs, and let me tell you, sometimes it's amazing how those scriptures will speak to situations that I'm going through in that day. Not every time is it a slam dunk like that, but sometimes it so lines up with a conversation I'm going to have, or a decision I have to make, or a confrontation that might exist. Start with awe, seek wisdom daily, obey, and then finally, trust, even when you don't understand. In every decision you face, ask, what's the wisest action to take in this situation for someone who fears the Lord? Just tacking that at the end of our thought process radically changes the decisions we make. Now, what's the wisest decision? What's the wisest decision for someone who fears the Lord? See, wisdom is available for those who want it. Wisdom grows through training, discipline, and trust. But wisdom won't wait forever. Wisdom won't wait forever. There will be a time when it will be too late to listen to her voice. Proverbs 1:28, Lady Wisdom finishes this way. She says, when they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. But that doesn't mean that we will never have difficulties. But that does mean that if we fear the Lord, we don't have to fear anything else. We don't have to be afraid of anything else if we fear the Lord. The simple, the scoffer, the fool and the wise, everyone one day will bow before the Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That God is the Lord. Wouldn't you rather bow now than bow later? That's living in wisdom. Jesus echoes this same message in Matthew 7:24. He said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against this house, it will not collapse because it is built on bedrock. Wisdom. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. Like a person who built a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. The fear of the Lord leads to a life built on a solid foundation. So what kind of people could we become if we actually walked in wisdom? Colossians 4, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. That means that people, especially those who don't yet follow Jesus, should notice something different about your life, about the way that you live. But not just notice that you follow different rules or that you come to church on Sunday morning, but that you live better. Ray Ortland said, more people are won to Christ by beauty than by rules. Beauty of a life lived well. This past weekend, we spent time in Tennessee at a family reunion at a church camp that my grandfather started. And we were celebrating my grandmother, who lived to be 104. She was just a few months shy of making that reunion. And as we shared stories and talked about our life, it was impossible to not recognize that this is someone who was an expert at life. Didn't have an abundance of money or possessions, but had lived so well. She feared the Lord. And that beauty drew so many more people to Jesus than anything else that she could have done. The beauty of a life that's lived in wisdom on the path following after Jesus is a life that is better lived, that's lived better. See, imagine what kind of church would be if we just didn't admire wisdom, but we actually walked in it. What if our homes were places of peace instead of panic? What if our conversations were full of grace and truth instead of sarcasm or spin? What if our kids didn't just see us go to church, but they saw us walk in wisdom? See, our kids, they'll remember what we said, some of it, but they'll never forget how we lived. What if we were people who admitted when we were wrong, who asked for forgiveness, who showed kindness in conflict? That's walking in wisdom. We're going to spend the rest of the summer looking at what Proverbs says about situations like that, everyday situations that you and I go through. So how many hours have you invested in growing in wisdom? Maybe you recognize that you haven't even started. You've been living your life on your own terms, walking your own way. Well, part of the good news of Jesus Christ is that you can start today, no matter what. You might have devoted hundreds of thousands of hours to living unwise, but today you can begin and mark the first hour of walking in wisdom. We're not going to find it by accident. You're not just going to stumble onto a wise life. No matter how many hours you devote to something, it's a choice. And it begins with awe, the fear of the Lord, and it grows through obedience and trust, walking in his way. So let's be people who walk the narrow path, not just because it's right, but because it's better. We may have spent 200,000 hours living unwisely, but today can be the most important hour when we lay the foundation of the fear of the Lord. Because wisdom, it's not just a principle. It's actually a person. If you go on in Proverbs chapter 8, there's this amazing section. I encourage you to read this week. It starts around verse 20-ish. And the author here is speaking of wisdom in a way that sounds so much like Jesus. that was appointed in ages past, at the very first, before the earth began, before the mountains were formed, before the hills, before he made the earth and fields, I was there when he established the heavens. The Lord formed me from the beginning. Before he created anything, I was appointed. This scripture, it points us to Jesus. And in that passage, we see that Jesus is actually wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom himself. Wisdom itself. Jesus is the wisdom of God in flesh. The expert at life, the ultimate expert at living. And here's what's amazing about wisdom. Through the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, Lady Wisdom, now lives in you, in me, if we choose to put our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus. If you said yes to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives within you, guiding, prompting, reminding you of that truth. You might sometimes feel it as a nudge or a check in your spirit, or even a verse that pops into your mind at just the right time. We've been given this amazing gift because Lady Wisdom isn't just shouting on the streets anymore. If you're in Christ, she now speaks from within. Wisdom is now in us, available to us. In Christ, the wisdom of God is now inside you through the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you, what path are you going to walk? What path are you going to walk this week? Not just because it's right, but because it's better. Let's pray together. God, we come before you today in awe, recognizing that you are holy, wise, and good. You alone are the source of true wisdom. And God, we confess that we often, too often, lean on our own understanding. We chase after the loudest voice instead of listening to your voice. But today we want to choose differently. We want to fear you, not with dread, but with reverence and trust. We want to listen, to submit, and to walk in obedience. Jesus, you are the wisdom of God made flesh. Thank you for not just shouting from the streets, but stepping into our world, living among us, and making a way for us to be united with you. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to guide us in wisdom every day. Would you help us not just to hear the word, but to live it? Help us to ask in every situation, what's the wisest action to take for someone who fears the Lord? And God, may we be a people who are marked by peace and grace and courage in the way that we live. Let our lives reflect your beauty and draw others to you. God, may we be experts at living, not for our glory, but for yours. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.